Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal for September 2nd, 2004. I'm Amy Brown. I've just returned from the protests at the Republican National Convention in New York City, and today we'll hear some of the voices from the streets there. And Meredith DeFrancesco, our co-host, is still in New York City, and she'll be calling us later on in the show today to update us with the situation on more than 1,000 people who've been arrested in New York City over the past few days. The voices you'll hear on today's program are those of some of the people attending some of the many protests that are happening this week throughout the city in New York City, including a Poor People's March, which had its destination Madison Square Garden, where they plan to issue a warrant for George W. Bush's arrest for crimes against humanity. Also, a Shut Up-a-thon at Fox News. And you'll also, if you listen very closely, hear a interview, a very brief interview that we did with Michael Franti, who attended one of the protests.
We're a group called Take Back the Future. We're terrified about how the country's direction is going. The world is afraid. Everyone, I think, is in great danger of losing democratic values. And this terror, which is, I think, the real terror of this time, that we'll lose democratic institutions and opportunities for the future. Education, a really free nation, has pulled us out onto the streets in our hundreds of thousands.
Oh, I'm here today because I'm tired of the lies, and I just want to see the truth come out, and I want America to stand behind the truth. It's time to get rid of this guy and his friends.
You know, I just got back from Ovintique. I'm seeing how magnificently the Zapatistas are building this other world as possible, you know? And so we're here today to do that, to build that other world and to convey that message, which is so vital. The message of Zapatismo, running this thing from the bottom, building the base down below, you know? Making the mal gobierno listen, you know? See, that's the way it works. And here we are in the temple of the worst politics of them all, you know? About to pass the garden with George Bush and the rest of the crooks inside, you know? And we bring the message of the Juntas de Buen Gobierno. We bring the message of the Zapatistas building their own autonomy outside of the pinchy state, you know? That's what we're here for.
Can you talk about the hope you feel right now as an observer and a participant in this sort of growing global movement?
Well, the resistance is what, you know, it's what keeps me alive. I'm a kind of old guy, you know? It keeps me marching, it keeps me moving, you know. It's the best medicine that there is, you know, for doing it. And we're seeing this resistance, you know, inside us, but we're seeing everyone developing this resistance inside them, you know. And it's incredible, you know, when we go to the Cancun's, the anti-global rallies, the Guadalajara's, where, you know, wherever they're getting together, you know, we see ourselves building a nation that was born in Seattle, you know? And that nation's on the streets today, and that nation's going to be on the streets tomorrow, you know? Another world is possible.
My name is Joo Yeon Ryu. I am from Orange County near L.A., I am with Young Koreans United, which is a national organization. We have chapters in New York, Chicago, LA, Seattle, Washington, D.C. We are fighting for immigrant rights, minority issues, and injustice, and we are fighting against Bush.
Great. And what can you say what you're doing here at the march today?
I am a performer doing Korean shamanistic ritual style drumming and dance, which is commemorating spirits of the community who were sacrificed by injustice and wrongdoing, which is like this war happening right now. Not just the people, U.S. soldiers, but U.S. citizens and other Iraqi citizens were sacrificed by Bush's wrongdoing. So we should stop this war now.
Go home, Bush! Go home, Bush! Go home, Bush! Go home, Bush! Go home, Bush!
I'm here today because when we were in, you know, worked at the World Trade Center and then it was destroyed, we learned that killing is wrong and horrible and terrible. And then we saw the U.S. government turn around and do the same thing to Afghans and to Iraqis. And we know it's wrong. And it makes us feel a lot more pain because of the fact that our government is doing the same thing.
So you were you at the World Trade Center at the time?
I was on the way in. All the people I work with survived, luckily. We were on the 16th floor, so we were low enough to get out. But a lot of people didn't, of course.
WTC survivor against the war. Thank you.
Yes, I believe in peace, and I think war does not solve any problems. So I think this is a good time to show that we want peace and not war.
I'm here today because we feel vehemently that this regime has got to go. We have killed too many innocent people. We're on a roll. This guy has no compunctions about what country he takes over next. He isn't serving the people of the United States. He doesn't care. It's time for the power of the people to come back. We need to be out here.
I'm Hugh Gratz. I'm from Trenton, New Jersey. I'm co-chair of the Peace and Social Justice Committee of the National Association of Social Workers of New Jersey. And we're here to protest against the Bush agenda, war in Iraq, the deficit, the Patriot Act, the environmental regulations being lessened, money going to war as opposed to social justice, peace, poverty issues, and people being in prison unfairly in Cuba, and 1,300 people in prison, mostly in New Jersey jails, from the Patriot Act. As an example of discrimination and oppression, people who are innocent and had minor visa violations, and we're here to say that we want a new president.
I'm here to protest against the Bush war game. I don't like what he was doing. The unemployment is very high. The people, they are hunger. And education is very bad in this country. So I am protesting against his policies.
I'm here because I wanted to support this protest against Bush. I don't agree with his policies. Came here with my dad and my sister. We're all here to just show our disbelief with the way this country, the direction they've taken this country in. And our hope for change.
Well, there's so many reasons why we're here. I mean, I'm here for my grandchildren and future generations because it's just unbelievable to me what has happened, how we have just dislodged all the good things that were in place with this government. And you can name everything, the environment, the tax situation, giving taxes back to the wealthy, the schools. I mean, it's just any topic is just, from my standpoint, has just gone down the drain with this administration. And I'm here to really look at the perspective of my grandchildren as to what the world will look like for them and the legacy that we're leaving for them.
I'm here today because I'm a veteran, and Bush has taken veterans' health care away from us. He's raising the amount for prescriptions and stuff like that. And I feel like veterans who come back should have something to come back to, and I don't think that's fair. So,
what are you a veteran from?
I'm a veteran from the Army. I was stationed in Fort Drum, and I was in Kosovo for 6 months.
Yeah. What do you think about Bush's military policies right now and the invasion of Iraq?
I think that we could be in Iraq for a very, very long time, and I just don't think that he has a plan. I don't think that he has a plan, and I don't trust him, and I think that he's very ignorant and that he won't listen, and he wants to be very unilateral, and we need the support of our allies, and we don't have that. And people are dying, not just in Iraq, but in other places, you know, Afghanistan, Sudan, and they're not going over there to rescue, you know, people in Sudan right now, you know. But so, and what happened to the weapons of mass destruction? It never happened. It never materialized. So I'm just kind of confused about what's going on, and I don't think that he should be our president. He wouldn't even go see the people at the NAACP. So I just don't think that he cares about anyone but the rich.
My name is Bonnie. I'm a community organizer. I do stuff with Coalition on the Homeless and other rights groups. I'm out here today because I've been through the system. And I look at this government that they cut federal funding and Section 8 program. There's 39,000 homeless families sitting in shelters waiting for a Section 8 voucher. They want to better themselves. A lot of them can't afford the $2,000 a month rent in New York City alone, with all five boroughs. And I say to this government that it's time for them to go. This phoniness, this war in Iraq caused millions of dollars in poverty. The rich white man and capitalist is getting richer, and we, the people of all ethnicities, are getting poorer. And I'm fed up, and I can't take no more.
My name is Jessie Leavier, and I'm with Power from Portland, Maine. Power stands for Portland Organizing to Win Economic Rights. We're a low-income group. We're part of the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign. We've been working to help organize this March for Our Lives for over a year now. We're really psyched. I'm a little nervous, but I'm more nervous. I'm more nervous that people aren't going to, you know, get their needs met, that we're going to continue to have our housing cut, that we're going to continue to see poor people end up in jail instead of ending up with the Medicare, you know, the medical care that they need, the housing they need, the education they need to have a successful life here in the richest nation in human history. I'm also here, I see this country claiming to export democracy all over the world. Well, I'd like to see some democracy here. I'm here with my other poor brothers and sisters to try to bring democracy. It's time for democracy to come to the USA, and we're here. I'm a little nervous right now, but I know that if there is a God up there, that God is on our side, and that, you know, that we have to sometimes, you know, we don't have a permit, but, you know, we're here. We have a right to be here, and, you know, that we have a right to be here, that God is on our side, and that sometimes we have to obey a higher law, and we're doing that today. We're obeying a higher law to eliminate poverty in the world's richest nation and throughout the rest of the world. It's time. Poor people, you know, Bush comes to shove, and poor people fight back.
What do we want?
Healthcare!
When do we want it?
Now!
What do we want?
Healthcare!
When do we want it?
Now!
I guess I could say a few words.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm just basically out to show support for people who are against Bush, especially the backdoor draft that's been implemented in Iraq.
I've got a job.
So what do you think about this turnout tonight and the energy here? What do you think about the turnout tonight and the energy here?
I think it's incredible. I'm so happy because I came out here because I wanted to be part of just one drop of this river. And I feel like this river that we see out here on the street tonight is what's going to move the mountain. And, you know, we've been marginalized, pushed to the side, swept under the rug, told to get a job, like the guy just over there. And but as I've traveled around the world, I've seen what this administration's policies have done to people and to their homes and to their lives. And for that, I'm out here to raise my voice, and I'm out here to just gain the spirit, the momentum that I need to go about my work the other 365 days of the year. So. I get a lot of creative energy, a lot of battery recharging, a lot of smiling, a lot of hugging. And I don't know that if in my lifetime I'll ever see the seeds of our efforts bear fruit. So if that's the case, then maybe that smile that I exchange with somebody or that person that I meet for the first time out here on the street, that might be all that we get out of it in our lifetime. But that means that those things are that much more important. You know, the love that we share with each other. That's it.
You gonna share something in music later on? You've been just playing as you walk around?
I play wherever I go. All right.
Boom, Bush, get out the way! Get out the way, Bush, get out the way! Boom, Bush, get out the way! Get out the way, Bush, get out the way!
Do you mind, like, saying who you are and what group you're from and what you're doing here today?
Yeah, my name is Galen Tyler, and I'm with the Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign, the current director of the Kids and Welfare Action.
And what is this march for today? What's your message?
We're marching for economic human rights, trying to ensure that with 1,500 reporters in town that talk about what's happening at the Republican National Convention, that they talk about what's really affecting the masses of the people in this country, not what George Bush ate for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or where he had a vacation at. We want to be able to talk about the issue that's affecting the masses in this country. And the masses of the people in this country need food, clothing, housing, health care, education, and a job that pays a livable wage. Until we start talking about those things and being at the front of the agenda, you know what I mean? No longer are we going to sit back and be silent. We're going to put our voices together. The Poor People's Economic Human Rights Campaign, it's about 80 different poor people's groups all around the country who come together and put all their small voices together to sing in chorus that no to the Bush administration and no to people dying in the richest country in the world from a lack of health care, a lack of food, a lack of housing.
How have the Bush administration's policies affected poor people in the U.S.?
Well, pretty simple. When you spend billions of dollars for war and military spending and take resources from social programs here in this country, that's definitely affecting the poor and the working class in this country. Even last year, we had 18,000 people die from not having health care.
Do you think that Kerry will be any better?
I know if Kerry gets in the office, we got to ensure that Kerry holds it down too. Just like when Bill Clinton was in office and he did the Welfare Reform Bill Act, we was protesting Bill. We had Clintonvilles all throughout Pennsylvania, all throughout Washington, D.C., because we don't care who's in office. We want to hold him accountable to the masses of the people in this country.
Do you think this movement's growing and how quickly?
Most definitely. In 1998, it was 30 groups. What's this? Like six years later, it's almost 100 groups.
My name is Pete Tredish, and we're here outside of Fox headquarters here in New York. And as you can hear, the protesters out here are shouting shut up at Bill O'Reilly from the O'Reilly Factor. And it's kind of great. There's about 1,000 people here, and they're essentially protesting the incredibly biased news that's put out by Fox News Network. The listeners of WERU that are accustomed to WERU's news may lose track a little bit of what the corporate media is doing out there, but I actually just watched I just watched Bill O'Reilly's show last night, and it was kind of incredible. You know, it was really one diatribe after another. The Republicans would come on, he would be all buddy-buddy and just give him a bunch of softballs, and then he would get like a Democrat and say, "So, you support communism, don't ya?" Yeah, it was pretty amazing, and what actually passes for news at this point in this country. And a lot of what it has to do with is the corporate consolidation of media. What we have at this point is a system where a very small number of corporations now control the vast majority of channels of communication in the country, and they freely use those channels of communication in order to push their agenda, to get regulations taken off of their business models, to promote their other businesses and other media. And so there's really a great deal of abuse of the power of owning the presses in this country. So this demonstration is a great indication that people are ready to see that media is not just a mirror that people use to, you know, look at what's going on in society, but it's actually something that's very much controlled and is an issue in and of itself, like abortion, like immigration, like, you know, the environment. The media itself and its ownership and control and who works on it, in it, is its own issue that has to be addressed by the political system.
I want to have you follow up in a minute and say more about Prometheus and how you're working on that and what you're going to be doing in Maine and New Hampshire coming up soon. But before we do, just for anybody who doesn't watch Fox News and may think it's just rude to be telling Bill O'Reilly to shut up, can you say why they're saying shut up?
Well, Bill O'Reilly has a real funny habit on his show of when he has guests, if he doesn't agree with what they're saying, he'll say, shut up, you know, and he'll try to shut down the person, just intimidate them like a schoolyard bully. And then if they say shut up back, I'm trying to make my point, he says, cut the mic, get him out of here. And so he actually like sets up this little jousting match between him and whoever else is on the show but then he controls, he holds all the cards. You know, if they respond to him the same way that he treats them, he just cuts off their mic and he throws them off the show. So it's kind of, I don't understand how it really passes for journalism and how they could say fair and balanced when obviously he's a promoter of the Republican agenda. So
tell us about Prometheus Radio and information.
Well, our role in this...
Rupert Murdoch, go away! Racist, sexist, anti-gay! Rupert Murdoch, go away! Racist, sexist, anti-gay! Rupert Murdoch, go away!
Our role in this is that Prometheus fights against media ownership, deregulation. We fight for a diverse media. And we do that, one, by making sure that the regulations are fair and allowing for community groups to be able to start up, community radio stations especially, but also community media of all kinds. And we also try to make sure that no one corporation gets control of too much of the media. So we just recently had a court suit in which we sued the FCC to stop them from allowing corporations like Fox from being able to buy up even more stations and channels around the country.
And you're going to be coming to Maine in September, is that right? What's that about?
That's right. Well, we're coming to New Hampshire, to Portsmouth, where we're going to build the first community radio station in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. For those of you that listen to WERU, you're accustomed to having a community radio station in the place where you live. But the vast majority of towns and cities around the country don't have stations like WERU. There's only about 200 in the entire country. And the vast majority of towns, there's really no choice. You watch Fox News or you watch NBC or you watch CBS. Or maybe you can see NPR, but there's no community-controlled radio stations with real local voices. So we're building a station in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and we're doing it in what we call radio barn raising, which is where we get about 150 people from, you know, engineers, lawyers, radio producers, and carpenters, and artists, and just all sorts of people, any volunteer, comes together, and we put the whole station together over the course of the weekend. And when it's done, we flip the switch on, and all of a sudden there's a new radio station on the air. We have about 30 workshops with all those experts there to teach, like, how to cut a news story, how to apply for a radio license, how to wire up a circuit board and do all those sorts of things. So we try to spread the skills and take it out of the hands of an elite cast of people that own the media today and spread it out to as diverse a crowd as we possibly can. So that's going to be September 10th through 12th in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. And all WERU listeners are invited to come on down and help inaugurate a new station.
Are you going to be in Maine as well before that? Or do you have, are you going to be in Machias in Portland speaking or doing some skill shares?
We may be up in Machias afterwards. And we were thinking about stopping through Portland, so we'd be excited to do it.
So how can people get in touch with you if they want to get involved?
You can check our website, which is www.prometheusradio.org. That's PROMETHEUSRADIO.org.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
So Bring the Troops Home, Send O'Reilly sounds like the good name for a song.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
I'm just happy to be standing here with David Rovix. And, yeah, so can you write one about that?
Yeah, that's a good idea, absolutely.
So what do you think about this protest?
Oh, it's
why
lovely.
Why
am I not?
Oh, why
I'm here because well, Foxhole News is a propaganda arm of the U.S. government, and it needs to be exposed as such to whatever degree possible. And, I mean, of course, Fox is just one of many. I mean, NPR, you know, Nationalist Petroleum Radio, and, you know, Cable Military Network, and all the others, I mean, they're all just horrible, you know. I mean, Pacifica and community radio and, you know, the community media is all we got as far as anything that you know, accurately reflects reality, and Fox
media.
Certainly doesn't do that. All their war-related guests
media.
Are pro-war, and they're you know, and they're not doing journalism. And, of course, a lot of their journalists quit and in disgust, which is what any self-respecting journalist working for Fox should be doing.
Have you seen the movie? Is it out, Fox? Is that the new movie? Have you seen that?
I have not seen it yet, but I really want to.
Yeah, have you given a review of that? Have you seen it? Chinsa, do you have anything else that you want to say?
Seize the airwaves.
Okay, and so that was those were several different voices from several of the different marches and rallies that have taken place in New York City in protest of the Republican National Convention over the last few days. And as I was saying earlier, an estimated at least 1,000 people have been arrested over the past few days in New York City. And Meredith, co-host Meredith DeFrancesco, is joining us by phone. Hi, Meredith.
Hi, Amy Brown.
This isn't your one phone call from jail, is it?
Well, I am calling from the courthouse, but I'm not in jail.
That's good. So what's happening down there?
Okay, so far, according to the National Lawyers Guild, 1,541 people were arrested on Tuesday, and another additional 500 had been arrested prior, so there's over 2,000 arrests have been made. People have been, I don't know how much you've gone into this, but people have been swept off the streets with not necessarily any order to disperse marches that had been in the street. They went to the sidewalk. Many people were arrested, including people who didn't even intend to be arrested.
Right.
French tourists. Right.
Well, I was going to say I haven't actually gone into this, but the last night that I was down there, which what was that, Tuesday night, you and I were down there recording and covering it as media, and we were on intersections that were at least 50% people who've just gotten off buses and people with their kids and people who are shopping mixed in with protesters, and the police were getting everyone so confused by shutting down intersections and sending people around the block that it was just turning into this big mess. And we left for just a few moments and came back, and it was a ghost town. They'd arrested everybody. So they did arrest several of those local people
Yes, but I don't know how many.
No one knows how many.
That there were just 1,541 people arrested. And there's a lot of concerns about medical conditions not being paid attention to, people not receiving the necessary medical attention or prescriptions. Actually, someone from Maine, who maybe we'll have on later, came out with what was thought to be a fractured wrist that ended up being a sprain, who hadn't been given attention for close to 36 hours before he was released, and we went to the emergency room. It also where people were holding, a lot of people were being held down in Pier 57, which is an old bus depot. The conditions there, a lot of old chemicals on the floor. People received chemical burns and other side effects from that. So there's a lot of attention being given down here to the type of conditions people have been being kept in. The people have not been allowed to see a lawyer, and they have not been charged. And many of the people who are still being held have been here for over 40 hours, well over 40 hours. And here it is the law that a person cannot be held over 24 hours without being charged. But most of the people have been imprisoned for, as I said, much longer than that. Prisoners have been moved around, and it's been extremely difficult to track. No emergency contact has been allowed, and it's been very difficult for people to find out what's going on. And above all, the lawyers haven't been able to find out what's going on. So the National Lawyers Guild went to court last night and filed a writ of habeas corpus demanding two things. One, that they have access to their clients, and two, that people in prison, as required by law, who have been in there for over 24 hours without being being processed or no complaint being brought against them, that they be released. Now, the city did not listen to the judge ruled that they agreed with these two points, but the Department of Corrections and the city did not comply with them. Instead, they filed an appeal, and now the appeal to a higher court, which was just heard this afternoon after being postponed many more times, and now the judge has ordered that people are released, and the arrangement that was, or the order was, that 120 people be released by 1:30, the 120 that have been there the longest.
Okay.
That still hasn't happened yet.
Okay, we're out of time. The National Lawyers Guild number that I have is 212-679-6018. Do you have any other contact information real quick?
Not right off the top of my head, but people are still waiting to be released.
Okay, and people can get... thanks, Meredith. And
yes.
Stay on the line. I'll talk with you in a minute. People can also get information by going to nyc.indymedia, N-I-D-Y-M-E-D-I-A, GetOutTheWay.org. You've been listening to Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal. You can reach us here at the station. Joel Mann engineered today. Andy Buckley does web and technical support. Please join us again next Thursday at 4 for Radioactive. Radioactive is made